Well, a very good evening to you, and thank you for tuning to Terrace Talk here on Radio Kerry. Donal Barry with you until 8 o'clock this evening, reflecting back on the weekend's action in football, camogie, ladies football and soccer, and it was certainly a busy weekend. Were you on the road to Castlebar? Did you hit the Mount Hawke Park maybe on Friday night to watch Kerry FC? Or were you in Fitzgerald Stadium to watch our camogie girls? Or were you in Ossensack Park to see the great win by the Kerry senior ladies? Certainly plenty of stuff to talk about. Or were you watching our National Athletics Indoor Championships, and did you see that amazing run in the women's 60-metre final by Sarah Leahy of Killarney Valley AC? She flew by the line in a personal best of 7:30. To think that the indoor national ladies champion is from Killarney. Fantastic. Well done and congratulations. Now give Ivan a call on 0667123666 or text us on 083 300 3300, and be part of the show. And as I say every week, I really appreciate the time you take to listen to us first of all, and we really appreciate your texts and comments, so get them in there tonight. It certainly makes Terrace Talk what it is. Now Kerry football, we were defeated of course by Mayo on Saturday night in round 3 of the National Football League, and it was a pretty heavy one, I suppose, in the end. It was 7 points, but Mayo led by 11 at half time, after kind of a stirring performance, I suppose, by them against the All-Ireland champions in McHale Park. Now David, I suppose, Clifford and Shawnee Shea, I suppose they were sprung from the bench, but in the end it would end in defeat, and there was certainly no fairy tale ending. Now two men well able to spin a good fairy tale join us now to go over the post-mortem, and I mean good evening to John Kennedy and Liam Brosnan. John, the last time we were here, when we spoke about this game, you said it would be tough. Tough were your words. It would be tough. Liam, mind you, you predicted a win, okay? So let's start with you, Liam. Why did we not win?
Did I predict a win?
You predicted a very comfortable win.
I didn't know. No, look, it was always going to be a tough ask going up to Mayo. Whether we were playing well...
They were John Kennedy's words, no.
Whether we were playing well or not. Yeah, but I suppose if we're sitting down at the start of the year, It's a game that you, away from home, that it wouldn't be a banker, you know, and it worked out that way. But look, Mayo came out of the stalls at 100 miles an hour.
You were there, you were watching it. Were you surprised at the way Mayo started? I mean, the first 3 or 4 minutes, nothing really happened. Then Mayo really put the foot on the gas and off they went. I mean, I spoke to people who were sitting in the stand, and I won't say they were appalled, but I mean, you know very early on whether you're in the game or not. It was very apparent from nearly 10 minutes that this was going to be a long night.
It was, and even though I think it was 7 minutes before Mayo scored, 10 minutes before Kerry scored, you could see the physicality difference and the fitness difference between Kerry and Mayo, that it was going to be a long night. And everything has been said about it really in the last 24 hours. You know, it has been such a kind of a downbeat kind of a game for the Kerry supporters. Everyone you meet today, their heads were down, and they all wanted to talk about it, but there was nothing positive out of it. But look, I suppose the only thing about it, in February, there's no medals handed out in February. We'll all hear that saying. But no, we were all kind of least looking for maybe some sort of a positive out of it. And there wasn't much of a positive out of it, to be honest, because the game was over in the first half. No matter if we brought on Tin David Clifford's at this level, when you were down 11 points at half time, you know, Mayo only had to come out and kick 4 or 5 points in the second half, because Kerry were never going to kick 15 points. And we didn't look like scoring goals, even though Barry Dan got one towards the end. But we found it very hard to break him down. You know what they reminded me of as what we were this time last year? Their structure. You know, their centre back was sitting back, Loftus was sitting back playing as kind of a loose man. You know, you'd be wondering, how was he so loose? You know, where was the Kerry number 11? You know, I know Paddy, Stephen Cohen, I was watching Paddy a couple of times. Stephen Cohen was just doing it was kind of a man to man job on him. He never looked at the ball, all he was doing was following Paddy around completely. You know, so they had their homework done, they had their tactics done. But look, I suppose we won't press the panic button yet. We're missing a lot of fillers. But like I said, we were hoping for some positives, and I'm hoping that we will have positives probably Saturday night, because Saturday night is a big game for us now. But in the second half, when Paddy and Shawnee came into play, you could see it was a different Kerry team. So when all these guys start coming back, when the fitness gets better, you know, things will improve for Kerry. But look, we're only probably 8 to 10 weeks away from championship, so we would like to see a few signs coming out in the next couple of weeks, because it would be nice to start putting a few building blocks together again and get a bit of positivity and a bit of structure going.
It's a part of political broadcast, isn't it?
That's me done now.
It's a good part of political broadcast. John, let's drill down on the figures. I mean, when people say we didn't play well, we still played a lot. I mean, we had 11 chances in the first half, we converted 3. that certainly isn't the manager's fault. That isn't the selector's fault. That's not the guys in the bench fault. I mean, you know yourself, you were a star forward back in the day. When you return back and you know that you converted 3 out of 11, that's on the player, surely. That's on you personally, is it?
There's no doubt about it. It's, you know, when the team goes on the field, they have to perform. You know, it's as I said last week, difficult place to go, even when you're going well. We're a bit behind, and that's, I suppose, there was people wondering about Jack after the Donegal game, how he was so kind of annoyed, really. And we can see it was 2 points left.
Yeah.
You know, as he said in the interview last night, 6 points and you're safe in Division 1. You know, when you win in All-Ireland, you're a good bit behind the rest. And that's the way it is. What have they done in the last couple of weeks training-wise? Nobody knows. But it was a poor performance. There's no question about it. But when you're, like Liam said, when you analyse it and you look at the personnel, one of our starting forwards in the All-Ireland was playing. David Moran was a huge loss. And I think that's going to be seen as the year goes by, because some of the old failings were there again yesterday on Saturday night. Our defence was open up the centre. We weren't as sure as we were. And when they ran at us, they caused a lot of trouble. And they had a lot of physicality and their way ahead fitness-wise. Mm-hmm. You could see the fingerprints of Donny Buckley again, defending. They were going in. They were turning over the ball, and we were taking the ball into tackles. Donal O'Sullivan a couple of times took it into tackle, and it was the total contrast to the Monaghan game, whereas it was so easy.
Have Mayo changed their style? You go back to Donny Buckley and winning the ball, but a lot of the Mayo play traditionally was come out of the backs, and the backs nearly ran up the field with the ball, you know.
And they're still doing that, don't
they? I think last night, in fairness to them, they played a lot more foot passes. They got the ball more direct. They skipped midfield straight through. And they came through at such a pace that Tadhg Morley, who normally sits in front, he didn't have time to kind of casually go left or go right. I mean, he was nearly bulldozed over by the amount of Mayo players coming through. So we were under massive pressure. Is that because we're doing so much heavy training, Liam, that we look leaden-legged? We didn't look like we could get out front in front of players. We just looked slow. Or was that just Mayo so good that made us look that way?
It's a bit of both. We'd be hoping, as Kerry people, to know that the heavy training is playing a thing in it. But the way Mayo played yesterday or Saturday night, the speed, when they turned us over, the speed that they broke at, there was times even their full-back and cornerbacks were getting up the field. But the one difference, all right, and you said it there, when they got to a certain part of the field, they were looking up. And it was a kick pass. It was a 30-yard kick pass inside. And the big difference there is what Kevin McStay has done with Aidan O'Shea. Mm-hmm. They have a target man in there now, and they bounce the ball in front of him, and they're running off him.
And he was very comfortable inside there.
Very comfortable,
know,
yeah.
Win the ball, give the ball. He wasn't looking to take
good,
on players.
Always
like
a good pair of hands, a hard man to match up with. James Carr, another guy in there as well, a big young fella who played very well for him. And then you have Ryan O'Donoghue, who kicked one four. No, I suppose he's after taking the mantle of Killian O'Connor, really, for him. And they have a lot more scoring forwards now than what they're all failing with scoring.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was their all failing. They probably had the best defence in the country for years, but they couldn't put the ball over the bar. But they have these Jordan Flynn, guys now, you know, who are big, athletic, strong guys. You know, and they really put us under pressure from the defence all the ways up. But yeah, you know, we're on about our old failings there, about down through the middle. But that comes when, like, if you're not getting the ball to stick in the forward line, you know, it was like a pin cushioned in the balls that were hitting our defence. It was just a constant flow the whole time. Like, we had 14 turnovers in the first half. No, so that's ball taken off us.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll put any defence under pressure. No, and some of our shots are kicking there, and as well, John, like we said, John's been the start, he'd know as well. Some of them were shots that we shouldn't have taken. Mm-hmm. You know, and that we were making the wrong decision the whole time. And our two goals that we conceded, they were huge, because
they were two mistakes. John, on the two goals, it's the first time since Jack's kind of third coming back to Kerry that we've conceded that many goals in a game. I mean, last year we kind of prided ourselves on the league. We hardly left anybody score a goal in us. We're beginning to look quite open at times. Is that a worry, or is that something that they go back and they look at the video and they know it's something that they have the ability to fix themselves, but you need to be up to a level of fitness to do it? And I presume the level of fitness has dropped off after the holiday and all the way through Christmas around. We saw even on the Murgard Cup on the return, we weren't really at the races. I mean, we beat Clare, but God, Clare led that game all the way through. And you could really say that, you know, we lost the Donegal game, we beat a poor enough Monaghan side. Compared to last year, where we were winning all these games and gaining that momentum, Mayo seem to have that momentum now. Would that kind of worry you that we're behind the ball on that?
It wouldn't really, I'd be honest with Donal. I think it's like Liam said, to the contrast to last year, we came in prepared, we had the block of training done, we hit the ground running. You look at it in the hurling, same thing happened in Limerick. Mm-hmm. It's a process, and obviously they'll have to work through it, but like standing Division 1 is very, very important. You look at the two goals, I think they were typical of when you're sluggish, when you're not tuned in, and you know, when you're a bit flat. For one of them, the kick out, Pa Warren was waiting for it, flicked away from him, goal. Tadhg Marley, one of our best defenders, coming out of defence, just a poor kick, mm-hmm. it was intercepted, bang, goal. Yeah. You can't. No management team can control that. That happens on the field. But I think it's just that sharpness, that the bounce in the step is not there, and then all the things, the good pass, the concentration, they all come with it. And I think that it's certainly all about fitness. And then you go up to Mayo on the day of a match. Regardless how long you're there before it, it's not ideal preparation to me anyway. You're in a bus for so many hours. No matter what time you get there, you're sluggish. And I think they played that well, Liam, on Saturday night, and they met a Mayo team that were hopping.
And of course, look, I suppose Kev McStay has taken over Liam. I mean, he needs to get as many wins under his belt fairly quickly. And he promised kind of expansive football when he arrived, and kind of champagne Mayo football.
And sure, every team, when they get a new manager, there's always a good that kick to know office. And you could see, and look, there's a very good team. There's Stephen Watchford, Liam McHale, Donny Buckley, and all these fellas. Fantastic football men. No, so yeah, there is a buzz above a Mayo, all right. So we'll be hoping the old failings will kick in come Championship, Donal, with him.
Right. I think the big thing, Donal, is he's leaving the likes of Killian O'Connor and Jason Doherty and those fellas off. He's given the Jordan Flynn's and the James Carr's and the Sean McDonough's. Yeah. He's giving them their head.
James Carr was immense.
Outstanding.
He was very good, yeah. And Aidan O'Shea is a massive addition. He got a lot of criticism down through the years, but that's because they didn't know what to play him. Yeah. He was midfield, he was fullback, he has basketball hands. No, he's a great target man. He's a big man. Even though, in fairness now, Dylan Casey, when he came on, no, they had a fair old battle there in the second half. I will give Dylan credit for that. No, so yeah, it's
that's the so-carry appearance in him, you know, Waterfall in town. Come here, comments coming in, and get your comment into us 0667123666 or text us on 083 300 3300. Lots of comments coming in. We're not going to read them all out tonight because, I mean, God, we'll be here till 9 o'clock with some of them, but we're going to batch them together. And you are right, John, there's an awful lot of comments saying, lads, don't get too carried away. It's February, there's no medals, don't worry about it. It's the league, we'll pick up our couple of wins, we won't be relegated, all that kind of stuff.
We still have to talk about it,
absolutely. Yeah. But these are some of the comments. First time in Jack O'Connor's tour coming, that Kerry have conceded more than one goal in the league or championship. Kerry looked really vulnerable the last night. I hadn't seen that vulnerability in Kerry in a while. Kerry's first two games were played at a walking pace. This was a big step up in intensity tonight, and I think Mayo's superior fitness definitely showed. We're really struggling to transition the ball out of defence. Kerry made some uncharacteristic basic errors the last evening. This is a Kerry shadow side for sure. You can't deny how well Mayo's tech is beginning to function. Some really positive moments. They led 11 points at the break. When was the last time Mayo led Kerry 11 points at the break? Yeah, certainly we're going to ask Liam Brosson that one. He has all those stats. lads, this is the worst performance I've seen for years and years, but I will say it's early in the league. Yeah, and I think that kind of, we say that the fan that's in the UA kind of fair about things, you can put your hand up and say, guys, geez, that was an awful game. But I don't think we're getting too mighty worried. I mean, we had the performances. Seven steps by Ryan O'Donoghue for the opening goal. Ooh, Liam.
Yeah, it was seven steps.
He took a few extra,
all right. But if, you know, there's a kind of a thing there with referees. He was fouled.
Yeah.
So it was either a penalty or a bit of an advantage. But you can't give an advantage like that, so really he should have given him the penalty more than make him put the ball in the back of the net. But yeah, 90% of the time referees are going to let that go.
Yeah. Barry Dan moved into full forward. I said to my father, is that the best tactical move that Jack O'Connor could make? Bang, Barry Dan scores a goal. Yeah. You see the new Kieran Donahue.
We needed a presence in there, like I said, and I said it to Timmy at half time. I thought, just by looking down at the game, that our forward line, we had a half hour line of Dara Party and Michal Burns. They're not the biggest men in the world. You have Dara Roach inside, you have Tony Rosslyn. We were just lacking that bit of presence in the forward line, and we couldn't get the ball to stick like Aidan Shea was doing. Ball bouncing in front of him in the chest, and there was fellas running left, right and centre. But if we had David Clifford starting in there in the first half, it probably would be a bit of a different game, because the ball would have been sticking inside. There would have been two or three around David, which would have opened up for either the Dara Roaches or the Donal Sullivans and these fellas then. So yeah, there's ways that you can change games, and I think that was a big thing for me, was our physical presence in the first half. We just couldn't get the ball to stick.
John, are we too small?
I would say that, Donal.
Are we too many small men?
It's a mix.
You won't admit it.
It's a mix, really, do you know.
They all lean Brassen size and signed a half-hour line.
I think, Donal, that, you know, when you add it up, and I've listened to fellas today, look, and the guys that are, you know, you can overreact to performances. And the fellas that are around a good bit, you know, it's a disappointing performance, no question. But look, the bigger picture is, you know, you're talking about the championship. And it's so difficult in the modern era to go from championship victory to through the league and do well again. We found teams cannot do it, but I think what was disappointing was the performance of some of the newer players. Mm-hmm. You know, they were really found wanting when that pace, and we said it here 2 weeks ago, the pace in Mayo will be way up. It's championship, huge crowd. It'll be similar next week here in Tralee, Armagh. It's a real dogfight, this National League, yeah. Because apart from Donegal, who've no point, there's four teams with 2 points, and Armagh have 3. Anyone could be relegated with Donegal. I think Donegal. Yeah.
Don't be mentioning the R word, boys.
You know, I don't think Kerry will, Don. I think they'll get enough, but it's real dogfight.
But I think that's a good experience for a lot of these guys on Saturday night.
It's their first taste of
a real tough game. That, like your listener said there, the first two games were kind of an easier pace. All right, like when the boys got the ball the last day, there was 2 and 3. It was championship pace by Mayo. Yeah. They were around you like flies. And our boys, they will learn from that. And like I said, if you were David Clifford and Shawnee Shea, they're best players in the country. So now you put them in, then you have the room then for the other guys to make A's, as I say. And I think that's where we'll be all right to come towards the summer.
Yeah, so you're hoping the panel will be big enough. Now, after the break, we talk to Conor Mortimer and we get the Mayo view. We take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, some so-called Kerry fans need to calm down. Complete overreaction from people. We will win against Roscommon and Armagh, and we will be safe. It's only February, lads. That's only the February, lads. Donal, 2 points to maintain at the summit of the team and the squad. Have to evolve with fresh players, bar a forced change with Moran retiring. I can't see any fringe player dislodging any of the All-Ireland 15. Secondly, several fringe players on the panel with the last 2 or 3 years are not up to the standard required and won't start come the championship. And Jack Shute, Coley Cull, 4 wingmen, wing backs, wing forwards, all under 5'10". Adrian Splann's physicality, turnovers and positional sense was sadly missed. Absolutely, a lot of people agree with Adrian Splann's loss with you. Hi Donal, Mayo will be able to maintain the same level of fitness come the championship? Yeah, it's a good question, will they? Hi Donal, hope all's well. Very disappointing performance Saturday night, perhaps still on holiday mode. It might be the wake-up call that we need. As Tim Mighton said on the radio, no, All-Ireland is won in February. Hope performances pick up, as I'm sure everyone involved wants us back to last year's successes. Good teams win All-Irelands, but great teams win back-to-back. Keep the faith. That is Tommy Dinhy in Curragh. And I have to read my next one. My good old friend Tom Kane, he's heading back to Castlevane. Believe it or not, it's 10 years of the passing of Tom Senior, and we'll remember him tonight. But question for Terrace Talk. Will the county board accept any cash when the Churchgate collection later in this year, or will it be a card? Well, fair play to a Tralee caller. You'll certainly get A plus anyway for humour, and we might actually talk about cards and cash after. But anyway, I caught up earlier today with Conor Mortimer to discuss the Mayo view of the game, and you can listen to that now. Conor, the last time we spoke after the league final, and despite, I suppose, the big beating, you said there was still a lot of positive things to come from this Mayo team. Did we see on Saturday evening that when they effectively tore Kerry apart, that, you know, there is something happening positively above in Mayo?
Look, I have no doubt, you know, something positive happened without getting carried away. It's up here in February. I know Kerry has that long back. You know, I've heard, you know, and then time, but I suppose concentrate on their own side, on Mayo. Look, it's very hard to tell because this team will be judged on whether it can win All Ireland or not. Previous teams have won Connacht, plenty of them got All Ireland. That's ultimately where it's going to be decided. It's not going to be decided between now and if they can do, get to a league final, win a league, or like that. You know, these guys, while showing great potential currently, bigger tests are ahead. I think that's later in the year, but all signs so far have been positive. I think particularly Saturday's game, we didn't give Kerry a chance to get settled in the game at all, and I think they were very clinical when they got the opportunity. Obviously Carr going and running goal were two good goals. Now Kerry will obviously won't be happy with the defending from their point of view, but we're racking up good scores, and we seem to be very tight in the defensive unit all over the field, and good sign moving forward.
Yeah, I suppose Kevin McStay, when he kind of arrived, he kind of promised a more expensive, I suppose, dynamic style of football, maybe compared to previous years. I mean, he's kind of delivering on that promise. I mean, a lot of things Kerry supporters noticed the last night was the transition from defence to attack. It wasn't kind of carrying the ball up the field as much. It was left go at speed and pace, and it certainly destroyed the Kerry backs, who would have been kind of the bedrock of the success last year.
It would, but as I said, there was a very different number of personnel from the Kerry side. I mean, that it's all well and good, wanting to play expansive football, but when you come up against the big boys later in the year, Kerry will be one of those. Their defences will be set up from the number 15 back. That space won't probably be there that was there the other night. It's very different from the National League Championship, but they are trying to move the ball quicker. They are using the boot a bit more, which is obviously good to see. But I think if you look back at all the successful teams in the last 7-8 years, there has to be, a section of ball carrying as part of their game. Previously, what they have done, Kerry won it last year, on our Dublin, obviously, have a number of them. Tyrone came in and played defensively and won it, Johnny Gall back as well. I mean, it's not there for design, it's there to be successful. And you can try and reinvent the wheel as much as you like, but ultimately, and you'll see it later in the year, that in order to grind victories in the real high pressure, an open brand of football, for 70 minutes just doesn't suffice. There has to be a mix in. And I think McStay knows that. I mean, it's great to see that, as you say, the expanse of football is there now, but it's generally, once the mix is right, it can be very successful. But as I said, their units defensively look very good the other night. That's across the six defenders and the two midfielders, and a couple of lad boards dropped back to help.
Absolutely. Speak to us, Conor, about Jordan Flynn the last night. I mean, he really produced a massive performance. I mean, he broke through the Kerry defence countless times. He kicked 4 points as well in the first half alone. He's one that's kind of new to a lot of Kerry's supporters, I suppose, watching it. Tell us a little bit more about him.
Look, he's a young man across the line. He's had wonders of potential the last 3 or 4 years, probably. Didn't get the chance with Horan as much as he'd like, so far as minutes. And I think now he's getting game time, and you can see the talent that he has. I mean, he's a big, big young man. He has all the skills. He can kick scores. He's fit. He can defend. He's got a lot about him. And I think just having, because he has the opportunity now and he's playing regularly, you're seeing the benefits of that. Big player. Mayo's future,
shall we say. Yeah, another big player, of course, for Mayo is Aidan O'Shea. I suppose at different parts of his career, people wonder, is he a midfielder or a centre forward or a full forward, or where he is. He seems to be very comfortable in the last recent games under McStay, certainly kind of in that kind of full forward roving role, maybe, feeding ball. He was involved in an awful lot of scores. Very positive start to his league campaign.
Yeah, look at it, and it's a skill that that people probably wouldn't associate with Eden. I mean, he's very good with ball to boot. He's a good kicker of the ball. He can spin the ball at the outside of the boot pretty well. He did it well for Brian O'Donoghue the other night. And that freedom of role gives him the opportunity to kind of float in and out. You know, he's obviously a danger inside. The ball comes in. He's a big, strong guy. He's fit. And he for a big man, he's very agile. He's a very agile player. And I think this is what he needed. You know, I think the pressure of being, you know, midfield or be outside and be kind of tied to that, he didn't have that flexibility where he could kind of roam at times, and he has that a little bit now. And yeah, he's playing well. And for Mayo to be successful, they kind of need Aiden, you know, him and effectively through the year. And I think this role is suiting him at the moment. Like all the players, bigger tests will apply later in the year, but you know, he's settled in really well so far to the new management, and long may it continue.
Yeah. James Carr was another guy that stood out for me that night. I mean, he's strong at the best of times, you know, but came into the game, dominated the game, and you know, you saw Kerryman bouncing off him, and of course he got the goal as well. He's a guy that I'd imagine that will be part of the plans later on the championship as well, James Carr.
He will, yeah, and he has been thereabouts the last couple of years. Probably hasn't happened for him, the chances that he has got. And similar to Jordan Phillips, from the game, he's quite confident. He's a big guy, he's accurate, strong, he's very direct. He's not afraid to win his own ball, he's always with the ball. Good anchor and good forward. And so good, like anything provided. As you have said, the more direct ball is obviously shooting these guys, where over the last couple of years we're probably carrying it a little bit and giving opposition defenses time to get back, where the ball is going to be quicker now. The guys are 1-on-1, maybe 1-on-2 inside, and they're bearing fruit from the opportunities that they get. And James Carr is another bright young guy, and you know, if he can get enough confidence behind him, he can be a very dangerous player for you.
Yeah, super. And come here, finally, of course, everybody's watching Mayo and some people are watching Galway. I dare say some people in North Mayo are watching your neighbours in Roscommon?
Yeah, they've had a very successful start in their league. You know, Davy Burke has gone down there now. Probably what they needed in terms of a raw, you know, adaptable manager who says it as it is and gains respect from the players. You know, he's obviously very good tactically. And I think this, he's been successful where he's been. You know, the goal for Roscommon will obviously be to compete in Division 1, but to get out of, to win Connacht, which is going to be very, we want to be up in Galway, you know, obviously Roscommon as well. And then there's, as I said, there's a test, but he's had a very good start. They've all had good footballers. It makes Connacht all that more interesting that they have had a good start, and we hope that they keep that going throughout the league.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the Connacht Championship is going to be one to watch this year, about Roscommon coming, Galway of course, and Mayo always there. Finally, we leave you off on this one. Lee Keegan of course sat in the stand the last night watching the game. I suppose you know yourself, when it's time to go, it's kind of hard to leave. But I mean, I suppose he'll have to get used to now watching players as opposed to playing. Is it a hard transition to make, we'll say, leaving the WhatsApp groups and leaving the football behind and sitting in watching it the first couple of nights?
I look at it, it's very different. You know, no matter what, the ideal would be to kind of eat out. But I don't think, no matter how you go, you know, it's all a few months down the line, the old buzz is still there alive for the first few months, and you're watching games and you're seeing what's going on. It's kind of when the games get a little bit more important come championship time that you really start to miss it, because you don't have a say in how it goes, and then you're missing that goal. But the National League can be a bit of a tough draw for players who are playing in the right here. It's like to be global successful, you've long runs as well, and it's kind of more of a draw when the championship comes around. But yeah, look, the transition is very difficult for every player. Like, you see it a lot with soccer players in the UK, but I think they work on that now in so in terms of planning and what they can do once they finish up playing, because it consumes pretty much all your life as long as you're involved in a county team. And you know, I think that support is probably a little bit better now with the GPA they're helping out and stuff like that. But you know, it's like all players, I mean, Lee got into RTD, I think, now to do punditry and stuff, and he'll keep involved playing with his club and stuff. And it's like a lot of things, when you stop doing one thing, you got to pick up something else and keep your mind. That keeps away the boredom and the bit of loneliness you can feel once you step away from it.
Fair play. Well, I suppose we won't be getting too bored in it, because the next round, the league is straight around the corner. I suppose it's one good thing about the league. You can take a loss, but it's only a week before your next game, which keeps things concentrated. Conor Mortar, thanks very much for joining us this evening. It's always great to hear the view from up in Mayo. And I'm nearly sure Pats will probably cross in the championship as well. Hopefully it won't be as exciting for you next time we meet. But it's great. And as I said, a lot of Kerry people scrambling away home the last evening from Castlebar. A lot of them were in massive shock, actually, to be honest with you. I suppose the big shock was down at 11 points at half time. They sent on the Cavalry. The Cavalry couldn't, I suppose, canter back the lead either. But like you said, I suppose it's the championship is what both teams will be looking at in time to come. Conor, thanks very much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Very welcome. Take care. Bye bye.
God bless. There you go, gentlemen. As always, Conor Mortimer speaking to us. Now, after the break, we'll talk Camogie, ladies football, and we have a couple of comments for the boys to answer.
Paris Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, the Kerry senior Camogie team made their own bit of history on Saturday when they played their first official game at Fitzgerald Stadium in Killarney. And in the end, it ended in a draw with Westmeath. And after the game, I caught up with their captain, Sarah Murphy. Sarah, that was some battle.
Yeah, Jesus, was tough. We'll be sore tomorrow, our bodies. But look, it was good to get the points on the board. Westmeath were a great outfit there. We had the wind in the first half. We got off to a good start, but look, we always knew Westmeath would come back into it. So we're kind of relieved, I suppose, to get some points on the board. It's a good start.
Yeah, it was a strange game. You had a lot of possession very early on. You probably didn't put it on the board. Westmeath gets a goal, and then all of a sudden you have a good bit of work to do.
Yeah, look, we did miss a good bit. I think at half-time we were told we missed about 2-3. But look, that'll all come. It's only the start, and we can only, I suppose, improve from here. It's something to work on now in training during the week.
Mm-hmm. And there was great character in the team as well. Westmeath came out in the second half with the win. They got 4 points. They went back level. They went ahead actually by a point, and then Amy steps up and fires over a spectacular point.
Yeah, look, the forwards, they're putting in hard work, and I suppose our defending starts at number 15, and they really put it in up there, putting the Westmeath backs under pressure. So look, Amy did great to pop it over. Thank God she did.
And she did it again as well to level it. I suppose the day was about the historic occasion, I suppose, nearly as much as the match. How delighted are you personally for yourself and your players to be playing here at Fitzgerald Stadium?
Yeah, look, we're delighted. We're privileged to play on this patch of grass in Killarney, and look, it's great for Camogie and Kerry, and even at half time to see the Killarney girls play and get a good run out as well. It's great for the underage to get some of it as well, but look, we're delighted.
Mm-hmm. And of course it swings around pretty quickly, the league. You have another match in the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, we're away to Meath next Saturday, so look, we'll try and improve on a few bits now during the week and get the bodies right. We don't have much rest if we're on week in, week out now for the next couple of weeks, so look, we'll put the heads down and work hard.
And you got to Fitzgerald Stadium before your brother.
I did. A week ahead of him. Yeah, that's good.
Good stuff. Thanks very much.
Thank
Sarah.
You. Thank
there
you
go, Sarah Murphy, getting to Fitzgerald Stadium a week ahead of her brother. Yeah, absolutely. Of course, the Kerry Hurlers are going to be there next weekend. There's a lot of games on, of course, next weekend. Now, there may not be too many supporting Kerry next weekend with the prices of tickets. 18 per adult, 5 for children up to 16. Absolutely crazy. It's RTE for me. Nobody can afford that. Yeah, well, no. Actually, it's funny about that, of course, that the rates are €18, €15, and it is actually 5 for a child. The 5 for a child, of course, it's not enforced by Kerry County Board. It's actually from Crow Park above, so it's J.IE are the people that enforce that. The gates will open, of course, at 3 o'clock. The game, of course, at 5. There's a good band on as well at 3 o'clock. If you want to get down there quite early, get your seat and get in. These tend to be great nights and the whole lot. Now, congratulations to Kerry Senior Ladies and the management on a good win on Saturday. Continued good luck to the Kerry Senior team and management. They were good and giving Mayo a break. Wait until the championship. The kingdom will rise to glory once again. That's Dermot and Margaret Ann in 2 6. Great listeners every week. Yeah, the Kerry Senior Ladies, a fantastic, fantastic win. And of course, we have been looking at them week by week. Dan Kearney, of course, has been filling us in on them. Dan Kearney on the line with us now. Dan, I suppose we looked at all the games ahead of time, and there were games that were kind of won, maybe kind of dirty, but this one was in no doubt one of Kerry's best performances, certainly this year without doubt, but in a good number of years in the league.
Yeah, I think it was certainly Kerry's best performance since this current management took over. Anyway, they were absolutely outstanding. They played, I suppose, you know, the old cliche, they played the Kerry way. You know, they played attacking football, foot passing, hand passing off the shoulder, you know, working hard for each other in defence. They were absolutely outstanding. It was a day where everything kind of came together.
Yeah,
for them, and you know, they were bouncing off the ground, really.
Yeah, and of course, it does help the situation when you're playing a team like Dublin or like Cork or like Galway or one of the so-called, I suppose, power pillars of ladies football, to be able to dominate a game for so long. But the intensity and the pace and the fitness that Kerry brought to that, that hasn't been seen in a long time.
No, absolutely. I mean, they're extraordinarily fit now. I will say, and all credit to their coaches for that. Like, and they've gone very strong as well. You know, obviously there's a lot of strength conditioning going on there, like, and you know, I know there's no defined tackle really in ladies football, but at the same time you have to fight your corner, and you know, Kerry are able to break the tackle now, and very, very much so, and they're coming on the ball at pace. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, I think Dublin were blown away. I mean, it was Tommy McBone after, and he was like, you know, Mick doesn't have much to say at the best of times, but he was blown away by Kerry really, and the intensity that they brought to the game. Of course, that's the Dublin manager I'm talking about. But like, even you know, at one stage there, after 14 minutes, you know, when Case Sullivan got the goal. Mm-hmm. I mean, Kerry didn't panic. They came up the field then straight away, two points on the trot again straight away. Like, and they took control of the game again after that. Like, you know, so that's a newfound thing by them, that they will bounce back from any sort of a setback. And you know, they have the belief in themselves now, I think, very much so, that they, you know, they go on, and like you say, the last day they dominated the rest of the game after that.
Yeah, so the nuts and bolts of where we are now for listeners, I suppose a lot of people tuned in the last night to watch the game, and I mean, the amount of people that have spoke to me about how impressive they were and how great it is to see them, the whole lot. But the crowd at Austin Stack Park the last evening, that was hugely welcome, wasn't it?
It was. There was a fine crowd, and you know, it was a fine vocal crowd as well. And you know, I suppose there's a number of factors. Really, like, I suppose the fact that you're winning, you're going to bring more people. And number two, I suppose there's a, you know, a half time game between the younger girls there, and that brings the parents, etc. Like, you know, and there's a genuine interest out there in Kerry ladies football at the moment. Like, even I was at a local game there, a men's game on Sunday at Desmond's and Dwab over in Castle Island, and you know, the amount of people that came over talking about Kerry ladies football and how well they're going, like, it was brilliant. You know, it was brilliant to hear it, and like you say, going back to the crowd the last day, you know, I suppose for those players going out there, when they hear a vocal crowd like that, a vocal home crowd, you know, it really helps, I'd imagine, like, out there, like, you know, and they respond to it, and you know, they did last day. So long may it continue, and please God, like, that the support will continue to grow for this particular Kerry team, because they are going places.
Mm-hmm. Finally, Dan, where does that put us in the group now, and where are we close to a semi-final? Can we be relegated? Who are the teams that are coming down the track? Maybe just fill us in a bit of that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, well, it's a straight final in Division 1, and Kerry now, they've played 4, and they have 4 wins, so, like, it's 3 points for a win in the National League ladies football, and so we're on 12 points. Next up then is Galway on 10 points. Now we're playing Meath next Saturday over in Brasna, and Meath are on 4 points, so Meath are going to come down desperate for a win, because they lost to Mayo last weekend. Now, looking at the third in the table is Waterford, who's kind of a dark horse, really, because when Kerry screw up over the line against Waterford by a point, people were saying, Jeannie, what's wrong with Kerry? Like, you know, this is Waterford, but, like, Waterford are up to 7 points there.
That's so good Waterford,
they really are a dark horse there, like, you know. But if Kerry can beat Meath the next day to be on 15 points, and, you know, Waterford have to play Galway. So Galway are, you know, are really going well as well in second in the table. So if Galway beat Waterford, Kerry beat Meath, you know, you're looking very, very close to a Galway and Kerry National League final there. Won't be, mathematically, it'll still be wide open, like, but really and truly, you are looking at a strong possibility of that final, really.
Yeah, fair play to you, Dan. We'll leave it there, Dan. As I said, it was a fantastic result. Meade, of course, next out in Brusna, heading up to North Kerry. Hopefully, you know, the big crowd will come out. I mean, they are the All-Ireland champions as well. And it's a very, very bang-informed Kerry team. That, of course, was Dan Kearney. John Kennedy, the most unlikeliest Kerry lady supporter I've seen around was Mr. Brosnan, but you've jumped on the bandwagon now as well.
I followed in his footsteps, Donald.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a fantastic performance. I enjoyed the game, being honest with you, with John Drummy.
Watching the game compared to knowing you watch a lot of men's games, you see the tackle, the ball, the speed, the strength. It's a different game.
But it's. I thought the way they set up, defensively they were excellent. Their half forward line were coming back. Niamh Carmody and Sheaf Rocher was back there, mm-hmm. as well. The work rate was unbelievable. Yep. But I thought the way they varied their game, the short and the long game, and some of the kicking in. I think Louise Murhartig mentioned it afterwards in an interview with Radio Kerry. The quality of the ball going in was excellent. Yeah. You know, she kicked 11 points, but the quality of the ball was so. Three great goals and. Like Dan said there, I know the Hiltons from Dublin. I was speaking to them after their daughter came on, Niamh. But they couldn't get over the fitness and the physicality of Kerry. Way ahead of Dublin.
Yeah, it's a good sign. Come here, way ahead of Dublin. Will we be way ahead of Armagh next Saturday, though?
Kieran Donaghy coming to town, huh? Yeah, it's
well, he hasn't too far to come to
he hasn't come in. No, not really. He won't be helicoptered in or anything.
He should have brought the Fitzgerald Stadium.
That's right. Take him out of his comfort zone as well. But yeah, look, it'll be an interesting game. I suppose Armagh are probably disappointed they didn't get something out of it. They would have been looking at the Roscommon game, that they'd probably pick up points there. So, and they didn't, in fair play to Roscommon. But yeah, Rian O'Neill, Rory Grugan, Jalicob, O'Burns, and these fellas coming to town. They would be a very stern test for us. They're a big, powerful team. I suppose scoring wise, they find it hard to score. All right, that's the one thing with them. But they
so
make.
So do we at the moment?
Yeah, so do we. Yeah, that's just going to make it more interesting. The only thing I'd like to see is this Ethan Rafferty, the goalkeeper. Like, there is chances for goals there. I do think if we can.
You're not a fan of him coming out of goal, are you?
No, I've seen, like, against Mayo, they should have had a goal at the end. Yeah. No, even yesterday, he pulled off a great save, but that should have been in the back of the net.
Do you not think it adds anything to the game, though?
It doesn't really, no. No, I think if you're a manager, your heart is in your mouth. Because, right, Stephen Cluxton used to come out, but he wouldn't cross the 45-yard line. This fella's up around the 21-yard line trying to kick points. You know, so he's really putting them up. And last year, if you think back, like, they gave us one hell of a game above an Armagh, but it was his mistake that cost them the game because David Clifford hit the back of the net. And I think there's a flaw in that we could capitalise on Saturday night, and I hope we do. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a very interesting game. It's going to be helter-skelter, like I said, because they are a team, big, physical, strong, powerful team, and they'll be coming down for a win.
Yeah. John, everybody's saying that there's no All-Ireland's won in February. Could we lose one in March if we don't win a game or two?
I don't think so, Donald. I said earlier on here, I think we'll get enough of points. You know, this is a huge game next Saturday, but
can we tape that now as producer there?
We have to win our home game.
I think it's important we win Saturday night, and you know, we'll get enough to stay up. I'd imagine that. You'll see a few of the lads coming back. I think we'll have a different team out the weekend. Armagh, you know, they're another real test. You know, they're in Galway, so close in the All-Ireland semi-final. They're not far off, but like Liam said, they'll be dented after yesterday's performance against Roscommon. I think Kerry will win on Saturday night, and I think we'll get enough points to stay in Division 1.
You're very positive. Liam Brosnan, will you ever stop by a J. Stewart going into Aston Stack Park?
No. I suppose Joe Wallace often tried to stop me, but he could never really stop me.
Joe Wallace is the guy that wears the orange one, is it? And the rest of them wear the yellow ones, is it?
A special bib for Joe.
Well, it's good to be talking about him because we have him coming up there around 7:15 this evening, and they're in the building already. Proper stewards arrive early, you know, good stuff, I suppose. Joe's probably going to find the kitchen now and find the tea, I suppose. Yeah.
All the biscuits gone. Yeah.
All the biscuits gone. Come here, guys. Very quickly and very briefly. Stewarding. It's not an easy gig, really, is it, Liam?
it's not really no. Any, I saw it above in Mayo the weekend as well. It's 17,000 people up there.
Yeah.
You know, you need people like the likes of Joe and these fellas, and they're diehards. You know, they're the guys, the GAA.
The case of Mayo though. Not this game, but the game before, two stewards, one got a cup of coffee thrown over him and another...
There's a lot of guards up there now, right?
Yeah.
That's a night,
yeah. But it does kind of intensify how important the role of a GAA steward is. I mean, people are getting a bit more aggressive and certainly a bit more louder at games and the whole lot.
And they're there 3 or 4 hours before anyone comes, you know, so they're really putting time into it.
Yeah. John Kennedy, Tom, putting time in it. You saw the county league fixtures?
Yeah.
What do you reckon?
Difficult enough. There's no easy game anyway. Division 5 is split up, I suppose.
He's playing the poor moat already, then.
But just on about the stewards, they deserve great praise because it's a voluntary game, you know, and I know that Mike Flavin will be in here shortly. They're the same faces are in all the grounds around the county and, you know, even around the country.
Yeah.
You see the same guys and what a commitment they give. And, you know, no more than a referee in a match. Mm-hmm. If you haven't the stewards, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
And fair play to them. And I think Outlaws, they'll get no coffee thrown on them because they're very nice. You know, they're rogues as well,
and they
talk you into doing what they want to do.
I think they're more team in rather than coffee, to be honest with you. Finally, Liam, predict win, lose by what?
I think it'll be very close. Looking at last year's game, it'll be a better Kerry team you'll see on Saturday night with the massive Kerry support as well. So I think I'd fancy a narrow win. Shawnee Shea as well.
They'll have to start.
I think that's our. And we will have fellas coming back, dribs and drabs from now on. You know, the rest of them. So we'll be getting stronger.
Yeah, Jack did say to me when we met him there around Christmas time that, you know, don't put too much focus in the league. We'll do enough to survive, and then we'll kick on. But he did say the bigger players would come back when they were needed. Will they be needed next night, John?
Oh, definitely. I think this will be the strongest Kerry team to date. I think the next night, and I think they'll be good enough to win.
Good enough to win. And Liam says?
I'd be the same. A narrow victory, Kerry.
No, the last time...
We're hurting, Donal. We're hurting, yeah.
Good stuff. Come here. After a break, we'll talk Kerry FC and then we'll talk to our Kerry GAA steward. So stay with us for the second hour of Terrace Talk. Now, when someone finally gets a chance to pen the history of top sporting Kerry moments, there surely will be a page about Kerry FC's arrival to the League of Ireland last Friday night under lights and in front of a sellout crowd. Billy Dean and his men went down 2-0 to Cove. But it wasn't all about the result. It was a night of firsts and it was certainly about the occasion. I'm delighted to be saying that I'm now joined by Kerry FC's communication officer, Ivan Hurley, and on the phone, Colin O'Grady, to help us review the game. If I start with you, Colin, as a supporter, can you kind of describe what it was like going in the gates for the very first time with your Kerry FC hat on and out come the teams, covered the opposition? It must have been a really, really magical moment.
Oh, it was surreal, Donal. I mean, you know, Senior League of Ireland Soccer here in Ireland, in Kerry, it was fantastic. Looking forward to it all week, and, you know, as it got closer, Friday, you're just counting down the hours to, you know, when you're going in early queuing. There's a good crowd queuing from 6 o'clock on, and you just go in and you see, you know, the Montauk Park was looking fantastic, the weather held up, and then just seeing the two teams coming out, it was unreal. It's something we've all dreamed for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm. And it's guessed from talking to Ivan, you know, it went very well over the whole weekend, very professional from the word go. And the eyes of, I suppose, Kerry people were on it all over the place, but it was the national eyes were on it and international eyes as well. So, I mean, the historic moment itself, it shouldn't be lost in significance.
No, that's for sure. I mean, it was a huge night for sport in the county, and it was great to see other Kerry superstars from different codes at the game. It was great to see them, and past and present. And, you know, it was just an unbelievable occasion. I know you said at the start the result was kind of insignificant, but it was just, you know, you're looking back and you're kind of saying, wow, has this actually happened? It was a great night for sport in the county.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, it is competitive, so we'll have to talk about the game as well. The final score, 2-0, I mean, I watched it online. I mean, the commentary was fabulous there, Aidan Lee. He was absolutely top-notch. Damien Locke with him as well. But would Kerry have been disappointed in the manner they conceded their goals last night?
Yeah, I suppose, look, there were two very soft goals to give away. And the timing of the first goal, which, you know, was poor just before half-time. But I mean, if you take the second half performance and the changes were made at halftime. 2-0 really was an injustice to Kerry. I mean, we had a stonewall penalty ruled out, and another chance cleared off the line. And if we just got one of those chances, I would have no doubt we'd have went on and won. Going back to the penalty, I mean, you're looking for consistency from officials, and you know he doesn't give it in the box when it's in the Kerry box, and then you know 10 minutes later when Gutchie's outside his box, the ball's kicked from literally from 2 foot away. And the ref blows for free and books him. You know, it's just the small things that are huge at this level, and it's the consistency really of the officials that you're looking for. But look, it's the first night is out of the way. A lot of the guys that started were making their league or in debuts. You know, the monkey's off the back now, and you know it's onwards and upwards.
Yeah, and of course, you know, his guess is it's 2-0, it's a defeat. I suppose it looks kind of. I suppose it's India you want to win your home games and all that. But there were some very, very impressive performances on the night. Maybe take us through some of the names that we should be getting to know regularly enough.
Yeah, you know, funny enough, you know, it was the younger guys that seemed to grasp it from the get-go, and even Billy alluded to that in his conference afterwards. I mean, if you look there at the back, you'd Sean O'Connell, and you had Graham O'Reilly, two outstanding prospects. I think one is 18, the other's 19, and then like you had another good guy from South Kerry, Ronan Tien, comes from good stock. You know, a very good game. Leo Gaxa came on at half time and made a massive difference.
Yeah, he was really impressive.
He was a different class, Donal.
Yeah.
And like, was very, very unlucky with one cleared off the line.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, another substitute that came on there from Killarney was Ryan Keller. He was, again, put in another very good shift. I just felt for the first maybe 20-25 minutes, it was nervous there, but perhaps by some of the senior players, but you know the defence played well overall. Midfield, there's more to come from, and I think, look, you know, Leo Gaxco is going to be a massive player for Kerry for the season ahead, a different class altogether, and I'd be surprised if he doesn't start starting very quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, talking to younger guys, of course, I'm joined here by Ivan Hurley, the communications officer. Ivan, I suppose heading into this, nobody really knew what was going to happen. You were building up. I mean, it was step by step. You were announcing the players. You'd done so much work on social media. It was absolutely fantastic. You were kind of reeling people in slowly. And then the night happens. Was this as magical as you had hoped? Or was it a lot more responsible? Or was this... Did you even remember what happened?
You know, Colin's going through the game there, and it took me editing the highlights kind of yesterday evening to kind of remember parts of the game, because it just flew over all our heads. I think it was just the whole build up was you know, we've been building since the license was granted in November, and long before that as well, obviously, but from a team wise and obviously say social media wise, and getting Mount Hawk Park up to what it needed to be to welcome a crowd of 1200 people. You know, there was so much work went in. There's so many names to mention that I can't go through them all, but you know, it when the night came, then all of a sudden it was the full time whistle was going, and a sigh of it, you know, that's the first hurdle done. And as you say, as Conal mentioned there, you know, the monkey off the back, and for the players and everything else, and looking forward to heading to Bray now again on Friday, and it comes thick and fast. You know, a lot of people were Kerry Cove 17th of February, but the train must go on, and we're off on the bus to Bray now on Friday. But look, it's again, fantastic to see it, League of Ireland soccer in Kerry. You know, a lot of people, Colin there included, a lot of people would admit to going to, you know, Treaty up to Limerick, Cork City, you know, relatively close, within an hour's drive of Kerry. But now, you know, you have a team in Kerry and Tralee. You know, it's central for everybody in the county to come along to games. And look, it's a fantastic thing to have now in the county. And look, results will come, obviously, and it's a very much a building process. But great to have the first hurdle done.
So you're not being transferred or anything, no?
Transferred where?
I don't know, you could go to Bray or Shamrock Rovers or you know, is that not what happens in the soccer world? If you're a good communications officer, could you get transferred as well?
If they want me. No, it's an honour to have the role with Kerry FC done. I mean, it's, look, they're a fantastic bunch of people, and getting to know them over the last couple of months, and look, obviously, you know, the household names, but you know, to be involved in a team like this is, you know, dream stuff. You grew up as a young fella watching Premier League, and you know, you see how big social media has become now, and seeing what, you know, the big clubs are doing, and all of a sudden, you know, you're doing it for League of Ireland club. It is fantastic, and you know, it's great to be involved with them and to be on this journey. And you know, I think the, you know, everyone in the club is on the same journey as the supporters, which is important. You know, it's a kind of a real family sort of orientation, community background, that, you know, we're on the same journey as everybody. And look, I think that's a lot of the, what can I say, the excitement around it, and the buzz around the town here, and around, you know, I'm in Clarny myself, and there's a massive buzz around Clarny as well. It's not just Tralee, it's all of Kerry, and that's what Kerry FC is. It's the community side of it. Everybody can come in and support the county team as well. And look, plenty of support backing the lads. The noise in Mount Hall Park was fantastic, the atmosphere, the music, everything else. So it's to row in behind the team, and the results will most definitely come.
Colin, if I didn't know any better, I'd say he's already negotiating his contract with a big speech like that. Come here, the one thing that he is right about, of course, all the things he said was right, but it does roll on. Bray, Nix, I mean, it's a very competitive season, 32 games all the way through. Maybe there's even more this year, maybe 36 games, absolutely, of course, with 9 teams last year. Bray next week, Bray got their win, a late win, of course, against Treaty, their first time winning away, of course, against Treaty. And I suppose in the League of Ireland, home teams are notorious hard to beat. How difficult an ask is this for the lads next Friday?
You don't know. I mean, I was listening to Shane Keegan, the Cove manager, speaking afterwards, and he said, you know, this was the first time in his career that he hasn't been able to prepare a team, because there's been no footage of Kerry FC. Kerry are still kind of unknown. Yes, they played one game, but you know, you're going into Bray. You know, all isn't well up there last season. You know, the supporters were giving out that they wanted change, and you know, maybe it might suit some of the Kerry guys that, you know, they're going into in a way there won't be many Kerry supporters there. You know, and if they keep it scoreless, you know, for the first 20 minutes, the natives might start getting restless and getting on the players' back, and that could be good for Kerry. And I mean, they will have learnt an awful lot from Friday night. Every single player and every member of the management team will have learnt an awful lot from last Friday night. And you know, the only way is up, from what I can see. Friday night was very, very positive. That second half was very, very good. And I mean, just getting back to something Ivan said there, I mean, if we can make Mount Hawk Park, you know, very difficult for opposition teams to come. I think the Cove keeper was getting a fair bit of stick in the second half.
They all knew his name anyway.
and in fairness, he took it. He was a good sport. But Bray got a good late win last Friday night away to Treaty. But you know, I wouldn't bet against this Kerry team nicking a point on the road. And look, all you're looking for is the first goal, mm-hmm. the first point, and it's building blocks. And it's, you know, we don't have to go marching out of the blocks, really. Yes, it'd be fantastic, but it's baby steps. You've got to learn to crawl before you learn how to run.
Yeah, absolutely. Good words. Listen, guys, thanks very much for joining us this evening. Colin, we'll catch up with you again maybe in a couple of weeks' time. Hopefully we'll have 6 or 9 points on the board at that stage. There'll be no pressure. And Ivan Hurley, he's certainly going to keep us informed of when the games are and the whole lot. I have to say, you know, that there is a huge, I suppose, a delight across the county that there's something new, something national. It's on the doorstep. A lot of people couldn't get tickets, so obviously that's going to increase people's, I suppose, appetite to want to get tickets and head along. As I said, there's plenty of games, half of them are at home. And of course, you don't have to travel too far up the road either to Limerick to support them either. There's a lot of games in the Munster as well. And as I said, we have to go to Cove now as well. And that's fantastic. And you know, guys, we wish you the very, very best of luck. It was a great start. We didn't get the win, but you know what? I think we won secretly. We'll take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, life as a GA steward, what is it like, and the role of the men and women in the yellow jackets on GA match day? Well, I'm delighted to say that I'm joined by three people who've certainly, well, we're going to say came a long way, but Joe's after breaking the seat already, anyway, so we better get a steward over there to the corner. But certainly these guys are here on busy days, and indeed quiet days as well. And I'm sure most of you will know them once they get talking. And a very good evening to Mike Flavin, Joe Wallace and Michael Moran. Lads, thanks very much for joining us on Terrace Talk. I'm delighted that you're here, because I suppose over the last number of weeks, what we're trying to do is we're trying to tell GA stories, not just about the players and not about the wins and the losses, but so many different parts put the GA together. And I suppose at different times we forget the blocks and the parts and who were kind of integral to it. Joe, I'll start with you. an easy 2 point question without going on for 4 hours. Just the quick role of a GA steward. Some guys at home now tonight having his tea. Are you the guy in the yellow jacket? Are you the guy that goes out and brings the injured person in? Are you the fellow that collects the money that he gets? What is just the specific role of the steward as you see it and as you do it on a daily basis?
Well, the role of a steward, number one, is the safety side of it. Common sense prevails in all life when we're stewarding. I'm in the tunnel now a lot of the times, like, and the tunnel is a very, very busy spot where you have the teams flowing in and out, 30, 40, 50 players there coming in and their mentors. And so, as I said, number one priority is the safety and looking after the public and looking after the players and the mentors. No, it's a very enjoyable job when everything is going right for you, because you meet a lot of people, you communicate with a lot of managers, players, mentors, and even the public, like, come up and say hello to you and talk to you, and just lovely, like, you know what I mean, like. But it can be dodging in at times. You have to be very careful. You have a lot of players running out of the tunnel before the match starts, and you have to make sure everything is in order. You'll be looking around them, that the gates are properly closed, and to let the teams out in the field. Because you have a lot of young people going to the matches, kids and things like that, and you have to be very careful in them as well. And the stewarding job is, you can be handling people and be aggressive. As I say, common sense prevails. You just tell them to stay back until they have. So nearly all, it's a kind of, a lot of it is all word of mouth, like, you know what I mean? Like,
so there's no art for men aggressive, is there?
No, never was.
You're a very placable kind of people out there, aren't you?
No, well, should like, from coming from all on, so I might just find more. We'll play you several times in the football, so you know what kind we are.
We were far too placid for you. speaking to a man who's very placid all the time, and of course from Carsevine side, the direction of the parish, of course, even though he hides it, pretending to be a Tralee man, Michael Moran. Michael, I met you, Kerry played Galway in an under-20 game 2 or 3 years ago. And I'd say me and you were probably the only two people at it, but you still had to be at it to open the gate and let them in. You have to be there the quiet day as well.
I'm there every day. The quiet day. I used to actually, when I was working night shift, I used to do the school games in the afternoon, lot of mercy, with Vincent. Mm-hmm. When Vincent had always took for a scoreboard or anything else, he'd always give me a ring. I loved the job. I'm at it a long, long time now.
How long is a long time?
I'm 40 years there.
Wow. Can you remember your first day in the gate? What job did they give you?
I was telling Joe this evening, I was up in the attic today and I found a programme, the first programme I got. It was county final, the Kilmiley and Ballydove.
My God, you were the hurling one?
I don't know, I have over 1,000 programmes.
Wow. From all the games?
From all the games. I love collecting programmes. It's a passion with me. Like, and
you must have a big attic. You must have a big attic.
That's what I said. He's going to fall down to the attic.
Don't think you open the attic too often.
But I usually there 2-3 hours before the game.
Yeah. What do you enjoy about the game? I mean, like, a lot of people would say, my God, I'm doing something for free and I have to be there 3 hours beforehand and I can't leave till 2 hours after it.
Meeting somebody, you meet, they talk about managers now, some of them are grumpy, some of them are this. But the nicest man I've ever met was Jim, the Dublin manager.
Oh, yeah.
Jim Galvin. Well, a real gentleman. Lovely man to meet. More of them then, they'd nearly push out of the way going in, but 99% of them were very nice.
Yeah. Speaking of 99% of people very nice, Mike, you meet a lot of nice people, because you, while this fella's below on the bottom and you're opening the gate and welcoming, what's your role inside there, Mick? You have a very important job, haven't you?
I wouldn't call it important. Yeah, like I do we call it the VIP section, you know. And I suppose, look, on match days, on big matches, it's kind of stressful, all right. Like, on a small game, it's grand. But on a big match day, like, you have
a lot of VIPs.
You have a lot, and you rope a place off in the morning, maybe for 70 or 80 people, and you're hoping then that will do you. And we've never got caught. Luckily, I think last year at the county final, we had one or two seats left at the end of the day, you know.
Okay.
But they come late, you see, that's the problem you have. You don't know who's coming, like they're coming in maybe when just before the final whistle, yeah, or the whistle blows, like, and then you're hoping that that's the last of them. But yeah, I don't know. As the lad said, you meet people from all walks of life, you know, and you'd have great old crack, you know. We'll take, I suppose we're there early, you know, like we say last weekend for the ladies game, we were there at 12 o'clock in the day, like, and we got out there that night around 10 o'clock at night. So it is a long day, which is, as I said, it's great. It's great. We make great friends. I've made great friends through since I started. Like, you know, I stewed in Killarney and I stewed in Tralee, and I've, you know, we've all done further afield as well. But, you know, it's great.
Yeah. Joe, I suppose a lot of people listening tonight and saying, my God, some 5 hours beforehand the game, and you must have been talking all day or all night before you got out at all. But the reality is that you have to be there early. You have to be there on time. Is there kind of a team meeting, a gathering? You locate people at different points, or do you go through that kind of stuff?
Well, we do for next Saturday night now, Mike.
Exactly. Talk us through next Saturday night now. That'd be very interesting.
For next Saturday night, the planning is going on ahead now with the with the stewards, number one, like, there's meetings now tomorrow night, there's with the stewards and the member of the Garda Síochána, and everyone has been involved in this, because you're going to approximately maybe 12,000 to 14,000 people. This is going to be a sellout. I would think so now, like, because it's a vital game for Kerry and it's a vital game for Armagh, like. And so, like, we're hoping tonight will be fine. We wouldn't have looked, there were some nights there last year and everything, they were very bad nights, but we're lucky the match is on at 5 o'clock in the evening, so we'll have a lot of daylight hours in it. But we'll be in early, everything will be planned, stewards will be get their destination where to go. Now we're blessed, we have a good lot of stewards, they're very good stewards, a lot of them very nice fellas, and they'll come nice and early and everything, and you tell them what to do and they'll look after their where they're appointed and things like that. So no, it's hard to get stores as well. You must remember this. It's free. There's no one getting paid for it. It's voluntary stuff. Like, they're amazed that the DGA are lucky that they have the likes of the three of us here. Like, we're going there and we don't get nothing for it. Don't know what I mean. Like, but we enjoy it. And as I say, for Saturday night, we'll be looking out for all this parking. Mick will be looking after upstairs, and Mike is inside in the restroom. And when the teams are coming out, we have to watch it. Mike will give it a nod that the teams come. We can't have the two teams coming out together, mm-hmm, because they're coming out like a bunch of cattle coming out into a field, like, you know. And if they hit you, then
on a string day.
Oh, they're good. They're over. Bye bye. Like, but those things are always under control, and we've good people in place for all these things, like, which is very important now. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of people before I forget it, is Eamon O'Sullivan there now? Mm-hmm. Oh, Eamon is one of the best men you could meet, a gentleman out and out when he was Secretary of the Kerry County Board, and he was PRO and involved in the GR, his life. And he took on this role as the Secretary of Austin Stacks Park. He's a brilliant man, a lovely gentleman out now, you talk to. He's everything organised, he's everyone playing.
So, yeah.
Now, Tony O'Keefe was there that time, unfortunately. We want to wish him well. He gets sick now, you know, when he was out.
Yeah.
And we have Liam Lynch coming, is a stair, and, you know, we have a lot of the officers of the county board involved as well, like, you know. But as I say, stewards are very important. If we don't have stewards, you can't run a match, like, you know, because we have gates to look after and everything. But as I say, you know, when you don't store, then you go away for you do a course and you get a cert for this for all this and health and safety and all this stuff, like, you know. This big stuff now, like, you know. But, yeah. As I say,
I suppose it has to be big stuff now. I suppose with so much litigation and people kind of, I suppose the insurance has gone through the roof. You have to have everything, all the boxes ticked off.
We just did a course there recently in Killarney, a few weeks ago for stewarding, you know, and you have to have this course done, all, like,
yeah.
And I was talking to Eamon there during the week, and we're going to try and get one in Tralee as well for the lads from the Tralee section of the thing, like, you know.
Good
it
stuff.
Is important, yeah, and it's a refresher, like, it sort of you might forget stuff that it refreshes your memory of what to do on with especially with kids and stuff like that, like, so lost kids and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, all new stuff, really. That probably wasn't happening.
In today's world, it's a different scene than when we started.
100% paramount.
Different scene, you know. Yeah.
Well, we'll talk about that different scene after the break when we catch up with you again. We'll take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee. where being local means coming home.
Oh, good evening, and you're still listening to Terrace Talk here with Donal Barry. We'll be here with you until 8 o'clock, and I'm in the company of three very, very wise men, Mike Flavin, Joe Wallace and Michael Morn. Michael, we were talking off here about your specific role. I mean, Joe is the man that leaves the kettle out there in the summer, you know, hopefully he doesn't get trampled on the way out, and he knows. But you're the guy that opens the pin and lets them out in the dressing rooms. Talk to me about the role of the dressing room. Obviously, you're the guy that says, Team A, it's time to go, or Team B, it's time to go. Do you ever get kind of managers sitting inside, despite the knocking, they're not listening to you?
At times, the linesman, if the linesman comes in, if he doesn't see, I'll wave to the linesman if they don't react to me, like if I get no answer. The linesman will come in, then he'll open the door and walk straight in and tell him out. You're like, you have to, because some teams would stay inside after
we're drinking lots of tea, will they?
No, but it's an important job, because I'm at the front door when the teams come. I tell them which dressing room they're in, and when it's a senior county, they used both dressing rooms each. They have two dressing rooms each, one's for the physio and one for the team. And as when they go out in for the match, the referee have their own dressing room there as well. I have to make sure that all the windows are closed and all the doors are locked.
For safety, obviously.
For safety. And that's why I stand always, I never go out in the field, I always stay inside in the tunnel in case anyone, because 9 times out of 10, the team goes out in the field, they're getting ready for the match. If you lock the door too early, there's one coming running in, I forgot my gloves, I forgot this, I forgot that.
So you can't go too far away.
You can't go anywhere.
So you've got the rough industry, you don't see much games at all, do you?
Well, anyone that's on television, I tape them all and I go home at night and I sit down and watch.
You can see Joe Wallace opening gate, his shiny jacket. Mick Flavin, you're up with the crowd. I suppose you're down on the pitch, you're in the dressing room. You're more in the stand when it gets busy and the whole lot. Stands tend to get loud and vocal and the whole lot. People arriving late and kind of people pushing in people. Do you ever kind of, I won't say end up being the peacemaker, but is there a bit of common sense used at times for
without
people?
Without a doubt, yeah, without a doubt. Like you'll meet all sorts of people, and you know, people become late, and especially like, as I said again, in the county final, there are, you know, we say like next Saturday night now, we'll have a certain part of the stand roped off, and people will come up and they'll be saying like, why can't I get in there and stuff, and you have to, as I said, people come late, but yeah, I know, like we.
Have you an answer rehearsed for that in your head, or
look, I suppose you learn as you go along.
Yeah,
you know, like it's experience as well, and you learn how to deal with people. You know, there you'll get all sorts of excuses and things for you.
Go on, give us one. Give us one excuse.
But like it's I don't know. It's just you have to learn to deal with them, and if issues arrive, you know, and you have to keep calm.
Mm-hmm.
Keep calm, you know. Some people will try and rile you up, you know, but not a lot, but a few will, and you have to be able to hold your head and sort of pass it off. Like,
well, I suppose you have to keep the calmest of all of them, no matter what's going on around you, because you know.
I don't know. People are good. In fairness, people, 99% of the people are spot on. You know, like people will take you at face value, and if you tell them, look, it's ticket only or whatever it is, they, mm-hmm. a lot of them will accept that, like, and they'll move on, you know. But I suppose on a fine day it's great. If the day is raining, mm-hmm. the stand can get a bit overcrowded, all right, you know, everybody wants to be in the stand in, and then that's when the pressure comes on a little bit, you know. But again, I suppose for the summer games, that's very rare, you know, very rare.
Yeah. Joe, you, the players, of course, I suppose coming out on the field is fine. Coming back off the field, I suppose, you know, that tunnel is tight, it's narrower at the best of times. You can kind of maybe tame them off, because Michael will let one gang out ahead of the other gang. But on the way back in at half time, they do tend to come in fairly good and lively. Any belts of shoulders or things like that?
I usually stand at the gate, and there's a step coming in, like, and I try and tell them to stay calm down a small bit. I don't know, but they're under pressure coming in as well. Like they're all hyper and all this. Like, you have to be careful and mind yourself, like, you know, because as you know, it's not, and you have 30 players coming in, plus coming in. And, you know, there's fair pressure, big, if they hit you, they're not good, they hurt you, like, you know. And if we're any bit of a, we don't have too often, there's a bit of skimmies in the tunnel and all that, but very seldom it happens. But if we did have that, you just, like Mike said, common sense prevails. Like, you don't get inside in the building, you'll wait until the kind of cameras on and they're afraid they'll be with us until they're there.
If there is a skirmish in the tunnel, and we've seen it in other places up the country, we've seen them all on television, they run off and some of the best league games are the bit of skirmish in the tunnel and the whole lot, and the media are on top of it straight away and we're all identifying who was in and who was out. Is it your role to separate them, or is it just your role to kind of just stand by and make sure
there's stores are there, but you would never happen like,
mm-hmm.
but you're, that could happen like your fingers, like, but if it did happen, you have no hope, like, you know, you're just...
It's rare, like, it's rare, I've never seen it happen, really, in a skirmish, you know. I suppose the field itself is quite close to the stand.
Yes.
You know, and we did at one stage, we kind of put a step from the there's a step coming off of the field down. But that didn't work either because it is too close and you're coming onto concrete.
Mm-hmm.
Your shoes are wet. But luckily enough, to date, we haven't had any major accident there ever, really, like, sort of they seem to get through it all right, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But as I said, it's pretty close. There's no whole lot you can do with it.
No.
It's pretty close to the stand.
Yeah. Of course, the other thing, of course, they are, besides, I suppose, J.S. Stewart, you're all GMing, aren't you?
All GMing, yeah.
And he all came from different corners of the place as well.
Yeah. Involved with clubs. Yeah. And I was involved with my club, Belly, you know, for years. I was involved in the North Kerry Football Board, you know, and then the stewarding came up and started doing it. And I suppose the stewarding was great during the pandemic for us, like. We were able, like, even that you had no...
Mm-hmm. The role was still there, like,
closed doors.
Yeah.
We were able to get out, and, you know, we were meeting the players, and it was a great outlet for us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm retired, we're all retired, and sort of to be able to get out of the house and go into a game, like, sort of, it was fantastic.
That's amazing.
He played it, we all played it, you know, and we know, on and off the field how it works, like, you know.
Yeah.
I refereed. I won a county championship in hurling, and I have refereed county championships in hurling as well. So I know the story and how it works, like, you know. But before I forget, you know, we forgot to mention, I suppose, is John Mahoney. He's our caretaker.
Oh, God, he's the real boss.
The real boss, yeah.
Oh, my God, but he even puts me in my place.
Oh, jeez, he's an able boy, you know, I don't live for nothing. But just to pay a compliment, he does a great job up there as well, like, you know, in all fairness to him. But I'll go back to the COVID, the time we were doing the COVID, that we had the music and out there, and I thought the Dublin people, you know, we had Dublin and Mayo there, like, you know, I thought that were two fantastic evenings above. It will always live in my memory, you know, and I knew that as well as I do, that what took place up there and everything. But it was, you know...
You were caught dancing, weren't you, while you were supposed to be working?
With
the roses. You were lucky you weren't fired by Leona Twist that night, to be honest with you. I think she came down to give out to you and you decided to go dancing.
I said to George, they got her the job in Europe.
Well, she was a lovely person. We had a great dancing, and Leona Twist, and we danced it. But, you know, Liam O'Connor was brilliant in the music as well. But I thought those things added to the night as well, like, you know, and you know, there was something about those two nights I'll always think about them, like, you know. Mm-hmm. And I said something.
And that's what it should be. It should be an occasion, Joe, shouldn't it? I mean, I know it's the football and the game. Of course, our Armagh game will be an occasion next night. There's a band on there at 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock is nice and early as well. People will come in big numbers, but it's a great occasion, you know. People are there. It's a Saturday night in Tralee, and it adds to the magic of the football too, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. It does. It livens up the atmosphere and things like that, like, you know. And
with all your careers, lads, none of you played against Mick O'Connell, bar one man, the quietest man here. Tell us about that.
And I did. I played in goal for the Marys in 1967.
Yeah. And just in case nobody knows who the Marys are, because they're a small club below there in South Kerry.
Marys and Castlefield. Famous footballers came out of there.
Absolutely. You played in goal against Mick,
yeah, 1967. I was home on holidays from England, and Lord mercy, Mick Duhigg, he was the manager, yeah. And I met Mick up to him. He says to me, "We're short, will you play?" I said, "Will." So I did. And Lord mercy, Christy O'Neill, you know Christy.
I do,
Christy,
sure.
Played. Michael Brennan. Ned Fitz,
Morris's
father,
yes.
Played Eric Murphy.
Oh, yes.
They were all on that, on that team.
God.
But
did you win or lose?
We lost by 2 points, but they didn't score any goal.
There we go. That's why you're in charge of dressing rooms. You don't leave anybody in or out. Come here. Talk about Belly Dunhu back in the day, or maybe not too far back.
Yeah,
in the day.
Yeah, we had. I suppose the last time I was in this studio here, I was with the late Eddie Dowling and Mick Finucane.
Very cool.
And the late Wishy Fogarty. I brought the lads in to do an interview here. Like, I suppose, yeah, down through the years, we've had, you know, Jordy Connor, Captain Kerry back in the years, and we had Johnny Bunnan, you know, Liam Flaherty, Robert Bunnan, Captain the Kerry Miners in 75. So it is a traditional club, all right, you know, rural parish again, but.
Rural parishes. I suppose there's a magic about it when you're a rural parish and you have a county man. It probably means a little bit more.
We've been very fortunate, really. Like we've had some great county men in at the moment. We have Jason,
mm-hmm.
you know, and doing well at the moment. And I suppose again, from a club point of view, it is hard to have a county man because, you know, the man is busy. You only get him for championship games, you know, and. But up to now, the club is going pretty well. You know, a good, strong club at the moment. You know,
Hartford going pretty well.
Well, we won the championship.
Don't be critical now, my God! Don't be critical.
I know we're struggling at the moment on the field team. We've a lot of players playing at the county hall. And,
mm-hmm.
and
talk to me about that. Actually, I mean that wouldn't happen in Carsevine or Ballydunahoe. Oh. Trying to divide the hurlers and the footballers. Is it a difficult gig? Is it a difficult job?
It is. It is very difficult. Look, I was 10 years involved now. I was lucky. We were very successful. We won three All Ireland.
The way he slipped that in there? All Ireland.
Cheeky.
You mentioned about four players. This fella played against Mick O'Connell, but we won three All Irelands there. Yeah.
Well, the hurling is a big factor in effort as well. There's no doubt about it. We've two clubs there. We have a hurling club. Which is Joe Hussey is chairman of it, and I was chairman until last year. I stepped down. I was out of getting 9 or 10 years at it. It was time to go, like, and so Martin Ferris took it over. So, like, the hurling is a serious problem to us to try and keep it going. We're lucky that we're under all the time under pressure when the season starts. We have this player. And this player's gone away with the Kerry hurlers, and should he be playing with us? Naturally, he should be playing with us, like. But unfortunately, he's with the Kerry hurlers, and he weakens the team. The same applies to the hurling, and all them. They're down players as well, like. But like, he really, really hurts us big time, like. Especially with a jewel club, like, you know. But we get over it. We have knowledge. We're kind of accustomed to it, you know. When the football club was formed, I was chairman of the Hurling Football Club that time, and we formed the club in 1978. I saw an opening there, and because there was a lot of there was very little immigration at that time, you know, in our Kerry that time, and in Hurling particularly, because we were the hub of the town, we're near the town, like, you know, and not all people walking to Lee, like, you know, so we were lucky, but we. Formed the football club, we have been very successful, and we have great people involved in it, and a lot of them have passed away, got help us, and mm-hmm. look, this is the way it is. There's no one, we have no other choice, but we were lucky. We were only kicking a ball away from beating Fosso over in Castleland last year, and so a small thing, we'd have turned it around. We could have been All-Ireland champions instead of Fosso, you know.
So you won three of them. What were the fourth one for? After a break, we'll talk about a fourth All-Ireland for Hartford, maybe.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now we're flying towards the end of Terrace Talk, a great edition of Terrace Talk this evening, I must say. Really enjoying the chats here with the three boys. Michael, of course, you mentioned St. Mary's, of course, and you travelled away up from there, of course, into Tralee. You're in Tralee a long time, aren't you?
I'm in Tralee. I came back from London in 1973. 50 years in Tralee. But I've...
Who did you throw your allegiance with?
I was always a Sulkilly man. But I was leaving the stacks. So,
the stacks. The stacks. Fair play to you. Come here to me. Jay is a huge part of your family because your son is quite a busy man, isn't he?
He is.
Tell us about him.
Brendan, he's a sports photographer in Dublin, mm-hmm. and he has the world travelled. He's Excellent. At it now since 1994. He started in 1994. When he was, I used to bring him to matches, and he was fascinated always by Sean Cleary. And I one day he wanted to, he was talked about camera, and I didn't know the first thing about a camera. So I brought him down to Sean Cleary. And he went in and he explained to Sean. And Sean said to me, he said, look, I'll be going to Dublin in a week's time. I'll get him a camera. And he got him a German camera, a Praktika. And he still has that camera to wow. home in the house. But that's what started him off in it. And when he was in the green then, he was much good at football. The Christian brother, below the green, Brother Doody, I think was his name. When the green school were playing in college football, he was carried as the official photographer.
Wow. So that's where it began.
That's where it all began.
My God. And he's won prizes the world over now, hasn't he?
He has, yeah.
Go on. Do a bit of South Kerry boasting there. Go on.
He has. We have...
I thought it was he was taking the pictures.
When he goes abroad, he brings his mother back a fridge magnet. Oh. And we have just over 100 of them now up on... I got a big white board up on the wall from every corner of the earth, nearly.
And of course, he's done Olympics and he's done
at least four Olympics, if not five. He's done World Cups. He's been in New Zealand with the Lions. A couple times he was in South Africa with the Lions. He's been all over Europe. He's been in America. He's done the Ryder Cup. I have T-shirts. I have caps from
everywhere. Dress yourself the world over.
You'd be naked over him.
All over the world.
That's amazing.
But he loves it, like.
Yeah. And he's a top professional. He really is good. And of course, I do know him quite well. But he's with another man from South Kerry, isn't he?
Oh, he is, Stephen McCarthy. And Stephen is out in Spain at the moment with the ladies' soccer.
Yeah.
They have a summer camp out there.
Isn't it amazing?
Yeah.
So proof be told, Joe, if you're not good at football, you could be a photographer and you could still be following the sports all over the world.
I have a camera there, and I have a phone on the camera, and I was taking a snap, just the other side would go. my vision wouldn't be the best for it.
Yeah, come here to me. Interesting that you mentioned that now, but the whole world now has gone phones and the whole lot. Are you conscious of the fact that fellas like me are taking pictures of you dancing at the odd time?
No, I'm sure.
That was a good move for you. You got the publicity of it. Michael.
I have one story I'll tell you. Early last year, we were playing Mayo in Tralee on a Saturday night, and it was T.G. Cahill were there, and I was standing aside. Last year, and I had the mask on inside the thing, and I had it down like that. It was below my nose. And T.G. Cahill, when the two teams were going out, the camera was shining at the teams coming out. My daughter was living above in Cork. She's married in Cork. And she was watching the match on television. She spotted that I had the mask over my nose.
Oh, no.
She took a photograph off the television and brought it down to her mother.
All right, OK. You were going to get it from the wife when you came home.
I said... Could it happen anywhere in Ireland?
Isn't that amazing?
And I was inside at the back of the tunnel, like. Which is amazing, isn't it?
You were well spotted. Mick Flavin, were you ever caught on camera doing something?
I suppose we were. Yeah, it is. It is a different era, all right, like, sort of. You'd have to be...
More conscious.
You'd have to be more conscious of it, yeah. Like, there's no lot you can do now, like, you know. The camera's gone, you know, and I seen it there in the stand. There's all sorts of photos being taken, and they're on constantly, like, sort of, even during the game, like, the cameras are on, you know, so you have to be...
It's a part of the world that wasn't part of the world 10, 15 years ago. Fellas came
and
watched
it. I was walking and travelling up and down the country, like, sort of, you know, you might stop in the motorway for a phone to ring home, you'll be home at such a time, and the phone could be, there could be coins stuck in it, you have to go on to the next town, you know. But, it is... You know,
change the world.
I wouldn't be great with it, like, but I have grandkids that could nearly make them talk. Do you know what I mean? So it's a different
world. Come here to me. We're running out of time. We're in injury time, but there is one man at least, maybe other men as well, if you want to mention him. But the late Mas Balan, Joe Wallace. I mean, I miss him terribly going in the gate.
The only one.
Myself, Mas Balan. You know, I know him for years now, and we were great friends. And the funny thing about Mas Balan, he never drove a car, as far as I know, because I used to carry him everywhere, like, you know.
He did.
And we used to go here and go there. Two gentlemen, we're very sorry off missing, because like he was, when I took over Castlelea, he was the groundsman in Castlelea, and when I was appointed to take over Castlelea in Sean Welch's time, when he became chairman of the Kerry County Board, and when he asked me, he says, will you look after it? I just said, I was working a bit of time now for it, but he says, I'm two passengers every day. He says, can you give a look in and move in? So I did, and I took on Massey, and Massey was there for until, not worse than the man, he's did over 3 years now. Mm-hmm. He was missed in Austin Sykes Park. He was number one. He was in Austin Sykes Park before he came to Castlelea.
He was a friend to everybody, really.
Yeah. A friend to everyone. And he was a gentleman out and out. And he used to love going out. I used to pick him up to go to the old functions, the GA functions. And
of course, yeah.
And I'd bring him along, and geez, he used to love it. And
yeah. And as a family, we can't forget the late Vincent Lennon.
Vincent Lennon, you know, yeah.
Vincent. And if I can, I'd like, at the moment, as one of our stewards, Mike Slattery out in Ballydoffin, we'd like to wish Mike all the best. Yeah. Mike was a great old crack, and great man to have tell a story and have a bit of camaraderie with.
It's the kind of job, Mick, that, or Mike, even though my son Mike's and Michael's Joe Lahal, but it's the kind of job that you get very close to people and become great friends.
Without a doubt. You know, and like, as I said, I suppose the GA itself is, you know, since I got involved in the GA all my life, I've made so many friends through it. You'd make a few enemies as well, you know. I did a bit of refereeing one time, and you'd make enemies, but like they'd never last. You're always there's no man out there that I can't talk to, and it's great. Like,
and Michael,
I had been with Moss for 37 years. We'd meet at Bellona Cross to every match. We'd walk over, stroll away over, come back after. And in the 37 years, we never had an argument. He was the nicest man you could meet, and I miss him every day to know that.
Yeah, I think we'll end on that, because I think it's right to give Boss Bland the final word tonight on Terrace Talk.
You know, when he was in Castlelea, that time he was looking up, you know, he lived at the other side of Castlelea.
Yeah.
But he never... You see, it would take him a long time to walk all around to come up to the field. Like.
Right.
But he had this old leather lad. There's not something going on. I see how he get off it. I don't know. He usually climb up the leather, up the wall. He'd sit on top of the wall then, and he'd pull up the leather and he'd come down the other side of it.
Okay, so.
But I remember we opened a door for him to put him on. Just, I don't think he'll ever use the door. He should use the leather. Like, you know.
He was a man that liked danger, up and down the wall. Listen, guys, thanks very much. And, you know, thanks on behalf of the listeners too for the job that you do. I mean, to be honest with you, I suppose it's like everything. I mean, more and more people, I suppose, when they look and see the job you do, they might be coming on to help you, because you can't keep boasting about the Mick O'Connell story for the rest of your life. You know, it's a big one. Joe will be looking for a fourth All-Ireland with Hartford sometime. And of course, Mike, fair play to your belly, Dunho. Jason's going to have a fabulous year. So look, guys, that's the story for this evening. Stay tuned. Up next is Mary Conroy, talks us. We all need one of them, I'd say. And I'm sure she'll have a reel for one or two of you. Are you into the Irish music?
I know Mary.
You'd be afraid of Mary. Yeah, she's looking out the window. Yeah. Good answer, boys. Fair play to you. And listen, we'll do it all over again next week. Thanks to Ivan and Keane. And hopefully we'll have a nice weekend. A win over Armagh, a win over Offaly, and a win over the two Meads, because the Camogie team are playing Mead and the Kerry ladies are playing Mead. Thanks very much. And you're listening to Terrace Talk with Donal Barry.